At City, we've been going through a series called One Another, all about relationships. And I'm here to kind of continue on with a bit of that series. I'm not going to tell you guys straight up what the topic is for this morning. What I'm going to do is I'm going to click this button here. The only other person who I see uses this thing is a guy called Dave Mann, who's awesome. I'm not too sure if he's spoken out here, but he's in charge of the Hope Project. And he's a very articulate, intelligent speaker. He's amazing. And he uses one of these. So I'm hoping the same thing will happen today as I speak. When I click this button, a quote is going to appear up. Well, I'm going to give you three quotes, and then we're going to try and guess together what the topic is today. And I really hope I get it right as well. Okay, so first one. There we go. John F. Kennedy. He said, "Forgive your enemies, but never forget their names." That's what he said. Now, the next one is, this is a guy called Emo Phillips. He's a very famous comedian. Well, you may not know him. That doesn't mean that he's not famous. It means that you don't know him, that's all. Okay, so when I was a kid, I used to pray every night for a new bicycle. Then I realized the Lord doesn't work that way, so I stole one and asked him to forgive me. Goodness me. Emo. And then Patricia Heaton. You guys know Patricia Heaton? She's of such comedy classics as Everybody Loves Raymond and The Middle. She said this. Christians, whether as a priest, a nun, a minister, whatever, have just been stereotyped to death. You try to be a model of kindness and love and forgiveness to all those around you because you have received kindness and love and forgiveness through from God through Christ. That's what Christianity is. Who can guess what our theme... Oh, here we go. We're going to all say it out loud, okay? Because we're going to all say it out loud. On the count of three, don't jump the gun, don't get too excited. Okay, ready? I'm going to say it, and we're going to all say it out loud. One, two, three, forgiveness. Yes, we're talking about forgiveness this morning. That is the topic for today. I tried to highlight in the yellow so it wasn't too hard. Now, before I start, a couple of things. I'm not a psychologist, okay? So all I'm bringing this morning are observations backed up with life experience. So after this, I don't want to hear stories of you going to your counsellor or a psychologist and saying, "Gene said," because and then him getting grumpy at me and giving me mean texts and stuff. Okay, so we're not going to do that this morning. Just so that you're aware, when I say life experience, one of the things I feel about forgiveness is that I came from a family where forgiveness was really a need. It was a survival instinct, and we'll get into a little bit more about that later. But one of the things is with the Christian, I've been a Christian, I've figured it out, for 28 years. So a lot of people don't see where you come from, right? They see who you are. They don't see the transformation along the way. They just see you as you are in front of them. For me, forgiveness was needed. I came from a pretty rough, tough background, and you either learn from it or you struggle with it. And I feel blessed to, in one way or another, have picked up some stuff about forgiveness along the way, and that's what I'm going to talk about today. Now, the other thing is, I'm aware from most of us who's been a Christian for longer than 3 years. If you put your hand there. So the majority of us, pretty much all of us, have been a Christian for longer than 3 years, right? So you've probably heard about 30 different messages on forgiveness over that time. You probably have a very good understanding of forgiveness. You probably have like a insta quote worthy something in your back pocket that you could flick out if someone needed it. You know, you could, if the conversation led that way, you could probably quote some verses and do some bits and pieces. You probably haven't know enough about it. So I'm not going to so much try and teach you why you should forgive, even so much how you should forgive. I just really want to bring some different angles onto the whole topic. Emo, go away. There we go. Okay. So today's topic is forgiveness. I'm going to do this by talking about three different questions. First, what is forgiveness? Secondly, why does it seem easier to not forgive? And thirdly, why is it better to forgive? Let's pray. Father, I thank you that your Spirit is here. Father, I thank you that you're with us. Lord, I just pray for revelation in every heart this morning. Lord, that that there will be something transformational about this word, but also that the revelation would just be poured into people's our spirits that are here this morning. that there would just be something deeper about it than simply what I can say. Lord, we don't want to go anywhere without you. So, Father, we just pray that you be with us. Lord, I just pray that whatever happens today, we walk out of this place loving you more, loving your church more, loving people more, loving your word more. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. So question number one, what is forgiveness? And to answer that question, to talk about what is forgiveness, I'm going to give you guys a concept, and it's called emotional debt. Now, underneath, you'll see scripture verses. You're welcome to write those down if you like. They don't always, they'll be scattered throughout this. It's more to just show you that I do read my Bible, and I do. This is going to be a little bit more informational than scriptural. Some of the verses will be linked to what we're talking about rather ambiguously, but I thought that would be good to put them up there. Anyway, emotional debt, Matthew 6:12. What is emotional debt? What are you talking about, Gene? I haven't heard that phrase before. What is emotional debt? Emotional debt is the negative value we assign to a traumatic event and the difference between a perfect emotional state and a traumatized emotional state. That's pretty big. Okay, and to explain this, we're going to go to this guy. Now, this guy's name is Lucius. He's 28 years old. We've got, because we need some context. He's 28 years old. He's obsessed with symmetry. He's dairy intolerant. And he films HD time-lapse footage of nature scenes, which he sends to the BBC via unsolicited email, hoping Sir David Attenborough will one day use his footage in a documentary. Not likely. So meet Lucius. Now, for simplicity's sake, we're going to say Lucius has never experienced pain, suffering, or loss. If we were to describe his emotional state, we could use a word like whole. And if we were to do a visual diagram of it, or a visual thing of it, it would look like this. Just a straight line. He's emotionally whole. Oh no, oh no. Lucius's friend has just drawn a parallelogram, which we all know has no line of symmetry. He's grieved by this. His friend has upset him deeply. He feels traumatized. He feels his friend has done this on purpose. Lucius feels a grievance towards his friend. If we were to describe his emotional state now, we could use a word like debt. And if we were to illustrate it visually, it would look like this. Look how devastated he is. You see the change in the line? So one, before he was emotionally whole, now there's a big drop in his emotional state. That bottom line is emotional debt. And this here, this space here, is what we call compensation. Now, what we need, compensation is what we require to recover from a traumatized emotional state. Okay. So if I take it back a bit, just for... He was once whole. He got traumatized because his friend drew a parallelogram. He suffered an emotional debt. His emotional state has changed. Now he's in a traumatized emotional state. That space there where the debt has occurred is called is the need for compensation. Forgiveness is the tool we have to accept compensation for emotional trauma, allowing us to release the emotional debt and return to an emotionally whole state. So in the case of Lucius, what happens next is his friend comes to him and apologizes. And Lucius feels that he didn't do it on purpose. Maybe the person who offended him didn't bring his set square. He usually brings it with him, so he says, no, that's all right, I get it, and I forgive you. Accepting the compensation, which was an explanation, and his emotional state, come on, he's whole again. The compensation has been met, he is forgiven, and now the emotional state is whole again. Now, what you've got to understand about this is this is a very simple explanation. It gets a little bit more complicated, and I'll explain some more stuff soon. But just to reiterate, forgiveness is the tool we have to accept compensation for emotional trauma, allowing us to release the emotional debt and return to an emotionally whole state. Now, the thing is, we all desire to be in an emotionally whole state. That's, where is it? There was some really good, I just want to make sure I say this right. Come in, Jean. Maybe it's down here. No. So many words. Emotionally whole state. I'll just carry on. We all have a desire to be in an emotionally whole state. Now, and once again, forgiveness is the tool to accept the compensation. Every emotional trauma requires compensation. He's whole again. Okay, now, here's what you need to know about emotional debt. There's some important things to know about emotional debt. First, all debt is debt. All debt is debt. So that explains a couple of things. Firstly, first off, let's say this. It's not about the size of a debt, rather that a debt exists. All debts are debts because it's a drop in the person's emotional state. So whether it's a little bit or a whole bit, it doesn't matter. Which means, which it kind of explains something in that, some people can be grieved by something like their pillows are too high at night and their neck gets sore. That can lead to emotional trauma. Whereas some people can be through the most horrific life experiences that we could imagine. And for some reason, the person who had the bad experience with the pillow still feels traumatized by the event. All trauma is relative. All trauma is actually relative. It's that you've experienced trauma that's the main thing. It's not really about the size of a trauma. As soon as you have experienced a trauma, the emotional trauma, trauma exists. Which is why it's really important not to judge someone else's trauma. Well, it's really important not to judge someone else's emotional state. All debt is psychological in nature. All debt is psychological in nature. Just because you've experienced physical pain, it does not mean you won't be left emotionally scarred. I know a guy who at church wasn't paying attention to what he was doing and he fell into a baptismal tank and broke his leg. It was actually this keyboard right here. It still has the dint. Yes, thank you, Michael. It still has the dint. That guy wasn't paying attention. It was dark in the church and he was setting up for a music practice. I believe he was the worship pastor at the time. And he was carrying the keyboard and he didn't realize he had forgotten they had just painted the baptismal tank and left the cover off. And he should have turned the light on, but he thought he was going to be cleverer than that and he fell into the baptismal tank while carrying the keyboard and broke his leg. You know, well after the my leg had healed, I would still walk into church and look up at that stage and I could see it going, come closer, Gene, let me gobble you up. And the physical pain had cleared, but the emotional trauma was still there. I tell you, every time I walk into that church now, I turn on the light. It's just a given. Actually, nowadays, because the baptism tank is in the stage, we just changed a whole lot of stuff for health and safety and started having a light over the stage that was going to be on all the time. But I still turn the lights on. Some emotional traumas may be still there. So that's why someone can carry a debt way past their physical healing period. We experience physical pain, but the trauma is emotional, psychological. We always personalize the debt. That's why you can walk into a wall that has been there for 20 years and you blame the wall. What's that wall doing there? Goodness me, I can't believe that wall. You know, those kind of things. We always personalize it, whether it's us or Satan or God or the wall. We'll always personalize our emotional debt. Number four, debt stacks. So not so much stacks as weaves in together. So multiple emotional debts can exist at one time. Because we, unlike Lucius, who had just experienced one and had recovered, we tend to have multiple different traumas, emotional debts created. Sometimes we can have multiple layers simultaneously. Which explains why someone can be triggered or traumatized over an apparently small comment. and hold the same emotional debt against multiple people. Do you understand what I'm saying there? Have you ever had that moment where you've said something and it just seems to trigger someone? Potentially they have an emotional debt there. An existing debt can also make it easier for another debt to occur, often meaning compensation is required from multiple sources for one debt. Just let that sink in for a second, what I'm saying there, is that because of the layeredness of the multiple traumas that we experience in life and the multiple negative debts and how connected they are, to truly resolve one emotional debt, we might need multiple sources to actually provide compensation because they're all connected in. This one. Come on, you. Debts can be hidden. It takes a lot of energy, but we can mask our debts. So we can walk around acting like we have no emotional debts on us. Problem is, it takes a lot of energy to do this. It takes a lot of energy, and over time, as more debts stack on, it's really easy to feel drained of emotional energy. Masking is not the same as resolving. So an unresolved emotional debt just sitting there can actually be completely draining over time. And I personally feel that a lot of the anxiety that we are experiencing amongst like our young people and even a lot of our older people is partly to do due to unresolved emotional debt and the whole triggering thing and the way it all stacks on. We walk around pretending that it's fine. We don't need to resolve it, but we actually do. And lastly, and this is a big one, only you can release your emotional debt. Only you can release your emotional debts. Because forgiveness is the key to releasing emotional debt, you have the pivotal part to play in releasing your debt and returning to a whole emotional state. This, you get what I'm saying? The pivotal thing for you to return back to an emotionally whole state is forgiving the person, accepting the compensation. Now, this is big because that means that you set the level of compensation you require for someone to be released of that debt, to forgive. Which means that, oh my goodness. So you can choose whether to forgive someone or not. That's freaky. That's life-changing. If you're prepared to accept the compensation that they offer. Now, the thing is, often, depending on the trauma, and to be honest, it can sometimes be a small thing, it can sometimes be a big thing. Typically with big things, we ask for a level of compensation. We set the level of compensation, and sometimes we want to set it so high they can never reach it. How much compensation does someone need to be able to provide you before you're going to be able to give them forgiveness? You know, like, if you set the compensation level, you can set whatever you like. So technically, you can set it very small. You can set it very large. It's up to you. You set the level of compensation because it's you who triggers the forgiveness. Oh, man. No, Jing, slow down. Okay, so just to reiterate one more time, what is forgiveness? It is our tool for releasing emotional debt. Now, emotional debt's covered, which will actually lead quite nicely to the second question. Well, is this the second one? Come on. Put it that way. Why does it seem easier not to forgive then? Why does it seem easier not to forgive? And to answer this, we've got to talk about the brain. There we go, the brain. And him, there he is, he's back. Lucius is back, and that's Lucius's brain. There it is. Lucius's brain. It's a happy brain. Look at how smiley he did. Oh, that's nice. Okay. Lucius, like all other humans, has a brain. Lucius's brain is the hub of his human experience. According to science, it is the seat of his will, his personality and emotions, as well as his intellect. Now, Lucius's brain is on the constant lookout for two things: positive experiences and negative experiences. It's on the lookout for these all the time. What it's looking for in positive experiences is something that's pleasurable, and when in negative experiences, looking for something that's unpleasant. Whenever Lucius experiences a positive moment, yay, Lucius's brain locks it away in a little part under positive experiences. In store for the next time he comes across a similar positive experience as a way for it to identify what's positive. When it comes across a negative experience, it does the same thing. It stores it away in another part where it for future experiences to help identify if that potential experience is negative. Boo. He says boo, so he says yay. Whenever Lucius experiences a positive moment, his brain locks that experience away in his subconscious. And then when he comes across a similar experience, he gets the green light. I should engage with that experience. And then when he has a similar negative experience, he gets the red light and told to stop. So he stays away from that experience. Okay, so the green light, the classic green light is chocolate. My son had never tried chocolate before we had done reasonably well. We had tried to keep him away from all his treats and all that kind of thing. He had some chocolate for his first Easter. So, he might have been about a year old or so. Anyway, the moment he tasted the chocolate, we broke a little bit off, and the moment he put some on his tongue, you could see his pupils dilate, and you could see his brain going, oh, what is this? This is amazing. Oh my goodness. And his little brain's going, positive experience, and sets it away under positive experiences. And now, I shouldn't say his name. My son is actively trying to find chocolate wherever he can. Because as soon as he sees chocolate, his brain goes, wow, that's a positive experience. That was a really good feeling you had when you ate the chocolate. So eat more chocolate. The red light, a good red light one is positive. Public speaking, for instance, public speaking. So for a lot of us, we don't like public speaking. I don't mind it so much, but I'm a little bit weird, so it's okay. Some of us don't like public speaking. And the moment we think we're going to engage in public speaking, our hands start to get sweaty, our heart starts to race. We start to kind of get a bit jittery. We can visualize standing up on the stage or in front of the crowd, and everybody's looking at us, and as best as we can to try and pitch it in naked, it still doesn't try to really work. We get so like, no, I can't do it. I won't do it. The brain, for some reason, has filed something under negative. And the thought of going near that negative experience again leads to all kinds of physical reactions, mental reactions, and we will do whatever we can to stay away from the negative experiences. The brain does this because the brain's main function is, the brain's greatest interest is to keep you alive. The brain is saying staying alive is a really good thing. So it's trying to separate these positive and negative experiences out because it wants to keep you full of just happy experiences, and it also wants to keep you safe. Come, don't you die on me. So the brain, the thing with the brain is that it's very good at observing situations, but it's not the best at interpreting situations. So you'll have an experience and it will pick it up and just put it into either a positive or negative experience in life. Now that explains why, even though you know that having another hamburger, another big old greasy hamburger, is probably not going to be the best for your cholesterol and your heart, your brain says, that was a really pleasurable experience, do it again. Do you know what I mean? And even, when it comes to the public speaking, not necessarily is it going to be a bad experience, but because you've had that trauma before, and this is the interesting thing, is that when you have a negative experience, your brain loads that in through emotional debt. You will not draw near to that negative experience. Your brain will push you away. Maybe So this is why it's harder to forgive. Oh, Gene. Oh, it broke. I've broken it, maybe. Come here, you. It's still going. Come here. It's easier to not forgive because we are designed to survive. It's what your brain is doing. It's trying to keep you safe and happy. When we look to forgive, we are not only fighting a spiritual battle, but also our natural instincts, our very biology. So, one thing I want to say about that is, that should mean if you have trouble forgiving someone, you're not fighting necessarily just a spiritual battle. You're not just fighting something inside of you that is rebelling against God. You're also fighting against something that's your natural biology. It's just kind of the way we are. Your brain is trying to get you to survive. And if you are the type of person who struggles with forgiving someone, you know, maybe it's a family member or something like that, if you're struggling to forgive someone, don't think that you're a bad Christian. Think that you're a human Christian. Take the pressure off yourself a bit. Like, it's not needed. Everybody is going to struggle with this because everything inside of us is, our biology is pushing against that desire to forgive. Okay. Click. There we go. Man, you should have seen at City. I had a clicker thing. It wasn't this one. My goodness, it was hard. It was horrible. It just wouldn't click. I tried. Anyway. Okay, so what is forgiveness? That's our tool for releasing emotional debt, accepting compensation and releasing emotional debt. Why does it seem easier to forgive? Well, it's not just a spiritual battle that we're undertaking. It's actually a biological battle. Our brain is trying to keep you safe. Your brain is trying to keep you out of harm's way. The truth is, if you were to forgive, there's the potential to be hurt again. Your brain doesn't want you to have that happen. Now, this is kind of cool. Why is it better to forgive? Fair enough. That's actually a really fair enough question, right? Like, why is it better to forgive? Because if it would just be easier to not forgive, why don't we just walk around like that? If you can wear a mask and kind of pretend that you're okay, why don't you just do that? Because if it's going to be easier, if that's the way it all flows, why don't we just do that? So to answer this, I'm going to explain something else. The weight and noise of emotional debt is crippling, and here's why. As we incur more emotional debt, and as our brain further identifies potential negative experiences, the number of potentially positive experiences we engage in are reduced. In other words, the consequence of leaving emotional debt unresolved is a smaller, less diverse, less interesting world. Because universities have studied forgiveness for quite a while now. They thought it was kind of the brainchild of kooky Christians, but they've gone in and they've analysed forgiveness and they've come up with some results of the benefits effects of unforgiveness. And here are some of the results I picked up from one particular study. I'm going to call it the benefits of unforgiveness. Okay, this is what you get if you are going to harbor that unforgiveness. This is poorer physical health, higher levels of negative stress. Maybe I'm pressing the wrong one. Oh, a more pessimistic view of life, less able to see opportunity, less able to trust deeply, less likely to have fulfilling relationships. That's science. That's what they can see as the effects of the benefits. We're probably not the right word for it. The benefits of unforgiveness. That's what you get if you decide, I won't forgive. That's what you get if you are saying, emotional debt, I'll just carry with it, I'll just ignore it. The benefits of forgiveness, therefore, are better physical health, lower levels of negative stress, a more optimistic view of life, more able to see opportunity, more able to trust deeply, more likely to have fulfilling relationships. So, and here's the cool thing, those are the physical benefits of forgiveness. But there's also spiritual benefits of forgiveness, right? Spiritual benefits of forgiveness. God forgives you. Restoration of relationships. Healing of heart and mind. Joy. A deeper appreciation for spiritual things. More concern for the welfare of others. And to be honest, there's probably another 100 that we could have probably put on there. But just because I wanted to really only fit things on one slide, we've got 6. The truth is, we have forgiveness because we are designed to live without the weight of emotional debt. That's how God designed us to be. Forgiveness is the key to a rich and full life. I've got a note in here saying, look, nothing great ever comes without struggle. Forgiveness is not easy. Anytime we look to release emotional debt, everything inside of us says, don't do it. Don't do it. You might get hurt again. Don't forgive because you want to have that deep relationship with that person. Well, you've been hurt before in the past. You know, don't forgive. Don't release that debt. Otherwise, you might get hurt again. So, you know, it's not easy. Never going to say it's easy. Chances are you might have to pick it up and put it down and pick it up and put it down chances are you will pick it up and put it down, pick it up and put it down. Because everything inside of you says, don't forgive. Okay. Let's go on to some more questions. Better to forgive. Here we go. We've answered 3 questions this morning. What is forgiveness? Once again, it's the tool we have to accept the compensation for the emotional trauma that we have experienced and allows us to release the emotional debt so that we can remain in an emotionally whole state again. Why does it seem easier to not forgive? Because it's our biology. Because it is a spiritual battle, but it's also a biological battle. You're raging against your own brain, your feelings, all that kind of stuff. Why is it better to forgive? Because the benefits of unforgiveness lead to a smaller, less interesting, less diverse world. But the benefits of forgiveness are far, far, far more worth it. Because you weren't designed to live under the weight of emotional debt. The truth is, I could have easily stood here and spouted some key verses and powerful illustrations. And, powerful illustrations of overcoming immense odds and the pursuit of forgiving one's enemies. And to be fair that Jesus himself said we should forgive and that we comprehend that it's a good thing to forgive should really be enough in itself. If Jesus said it, we should do it. But it just you see Christians of all ages and stages and facial arrangements struggling with this. Even more than we'd like to admit. So it seems, you know, when it comes to forgiveness and unforgiveness, it seems more beneficial to me, for us to be able to understand some of the stuff that's happening behind it. If we could actually grasp what we're doing, why we're doing, and how we could, and the benefits from it. Hopefully it inspires us to have a go and to do it, you know, and to keep pushing on in it. Last thing I wanted to talk about is this. You know, everything that we talk about when we talk about forgiveness, accepting compensation, all of that kind of stuff, emotional debt, Christ has already done for us. I love that verse. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. You know, God has already exampled all of us for us. We sinned against him, created an emotional debt. There was compensation that was required. And unfortunately for us, there was no way we were ever going to be able to pay back that compensation. But of course, we know the full story is that he himself provided the compensation through his son. And therefore, we are able to claim the promise of his son, that if we would go to him, we can ask for forgiveness without compensation. Compensation made through him and Jesus on the cross. And we can have a relationship with him again. We can restore that back to the back to wholeness. So there we have it. That's it. I'm not going to do an altar call or anything crazy like that. All I'm going to say is a couple of things. If you haven't started today, start today. If you hold something against someone, start today. If you find that you've forgiven someone and you've picked something up, try again. It's just, the benefits are so there. So much more worthwhile to give it a go. Okay? Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for these awesome people. I thank you for this awesome church. I just pray, Lord, if there is anything pure and noble and trustworthy in anything that I've said, that you would just sow it into their hearts. Lord, I just pray for anyone who might be struggling with forgiving. Maybe this has conjured up, stirred up some thoughts or emotions. Lord, I just pray that you would visit them with peace and hope and strength and wisdom. And I just pray, Lord, in the coming days that we would be the type of people who follow your word, follow your heart, love to forgive, that we might experience life to the full. You called us to be free, and free indeed. In Jesus' name, amen.